Welcome to Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group and Trading Technologies. For more information on the show, visit us online at futuresradioshow.com. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. As you can tell by my notes, I wanted to make sure I got all my questions ready for you. This is exciting for me because you guys are now sponsoring Futures Radio, which I truly appreciate. I mean, your team is fantastic, all of them. I spent a little bit of time actually yesterday in your office, and I felt like I was in Google over there. It's a really cool area that you have set up over there for all of your workers. And like I said, the team is just fantastic. So I want to dive right into this today, and I want to talk about a little bit about my experience with TT. Sure. You know, I started using TT in 2000, and one of the big reasons I started to use TT over GL was because of the visual change of looking at the book. Basically, us traders, we call it the dome. You know, that was 16 years ago. A lot has changed since then,
sure,
Rick.
Yes.
And for those that don't know you as well as I do, can you take us back to that moment and talk about the original X-Trader platform?
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't there, of course, in 2000 at that time. The company was founded in 94, so that was already 6-7 years into the life of the company. But I think 2000 was probably a pretty meaningful and pivotal year for us. That was when we launched the MD Trader. You call it the Dome, other people call it the Dom, but that was the innovation that we launched that I think in a lot of ways ushered the migration, the transition to the screen for a lot of users. It was really, I think, the first time that people who had been trading for many years felt comfortable actively entering and exiting the market. And I think that was really a catalyst for a big shift of volume to the screen. So those early years of TT and X-Trader, I think in a lot of ways we were kind of evolving with our users. This was obviously before the advent of ultra-low latency execution, server-side execution. But just a couple years after that, 2002, I don't know if you were using this tool, but we launched AutoSpreader, which, again, for a lot of people was the first sort of foray into automated trading. AutoSpreader and auto-spreading is sort of ubiquitous in our industry, as you know now. But back then, that was 14 years ago, it was, for many people, that first taste of automating their trade strategies. And I think we had a big part in that. Taking that through sort of the mid-2000s, late-2000s, was when we really saw that inflection point when speed became more and more important and people were spending more and more money trying to sort of win that arms race of performance. And that's when you saw a lot of the shift from large end user workstations, which I'm sure you had in your office, you might still have one. The bigger the tower you can buy, the faster your auto spreader, your algo is going to be, and a shift to sort of those dark data centers somewhere co-located with the various exchanges. And so, TT was in many ways helping our customers through that inflection point as well. So, I think it's been a fun 22 years. Certainly one that I think we, as I said, evolved with our end users. But that 2009-2010 timeframe was really where my role intersected with TT. It was about June of 2010.
I wasn't one of the people using that auto spreader. I was an outright junkie. But let's talk about you. You talked about your story starting in 2009, 2010 with TT. Let's talk about that. How did you get started with them?
Yeah, I had a fairly unusual path to TT. In fact, I had a fairly unusual path to capital markets. If you rewind a few years back, so 2005, 2006, I was actually building war games and defense software for the various military branches and Department of Defense. My cousin, who was at the time a big interest rate futures trader, he noticed that fairly soon, if he and if others weren't starting to employ automation and computers to his trade, that he would no longer be competitive. And I think he had a lot of foresight, and fortunately for him, had a couple years of a head start there. So he hired me away from the DC area to come out to Chicago to kind of help him get his automation plan of attack off the ground. As I said, that was the end of 2005, 2006, and that was just a little bit before that inflection point. Certainly, a lot of people were dabbling in automation, particularly in the Eurodollar futures, which is where we focused. But it was enough of a runway for me to learn the markets and learn how humbling they can be. And then obviously, you know, the rest is history. 2006, 2007 through 2010, there was a dramatic change in the number and the role that, that automation and algos were playing in these markets and most, I think, globally. It's funny, you mentioned GL briefly. You were a TT user, not a GL user. For one reason or another, we were never TT users. I think we were bred and reared with the free screen that, that CME gave out, GL trade, they called it. And so, you know, I think you're either a GL person or a TT person. We just happened to be GL. And then the CME said, we're no longer going to give this out, and it kind of went away. And we had to scramble. This is literally over a weekend. We had to scramble, and by we, I mean I. And I had to basically build a worthy sort of replacement for our trading firm that they could use on Monday or Sunday night because they weren't quite ready to move to TT. And so out of that came a proprietary trading platform that we built. I was the only technologist in the group, and it was for being the only technologist with most of your colleagues down in the pit. This was back in the Board of Trade CME days. It was not the most. You were talking about our office space being kind of a good work environment. It was not a good work environment by any means. I discovered that most of intraday trading programs that they were yelling at me through this intercom system, they were down on the floor. I was up in the office. These trading strategies that they were encountering all were kind of different variations on the same thing. They saw a large order come in, knock the market out of whack, and there was an hour, maybe 2 hours, where they wanted to capitalize on that in some capacity. And so I'd, as quickly as possible, kind of string these, write the code to make this strategy work right and safely, and then turn it on and hopefully do it in quick enough time that we could actually start to capitalize on some of these inefficiencies. That was not a tenable situation for me, stressful to say the least. But what I noticed was that most of these strategies, as I mentioned, were all kind of linked together and all sort of built upon the same building blocks. And so, and trust me, there's a reason I'm going into this long tangent. These building blocks, I basically said, rather than relying on me up in the office, you guys are down on the floor with your pen tablet, tablet computers. Why don't I give you a way to string these blocks together? You don't need to worry about writing code. You don't need to worry about all the technology behind it. And then behind the scenes, it will generate the program, the algo for you, sort of cutting me out of the picture altogether. And so that's when we kind of the light bulb went off and we said, okay, we've got something here. You know, the platform at this point was a couple years old. It was mature. And we had something that at the time the market leader, of course, TT, didn't have. So we said, let's keep the trading operation going and let's spin off this commercial software arm and sell this platform, then called Ticket Trading Systems, which was the company we spun out. About 4 months after we launched, we had about 60, 75 paying customers. That's when the first knock at the door came from TT, who was interested in this visual programming platform that I mentioned. After 8 months, we were a part of TT. So they acquired Ticket Trading Systems, primarily for ADL, which is the Algo Design Lab, in 2010. And as I alluded to earlier, that was really that inflection point when server-side co-located execution was of utmost importance, and giving in a way that TT was known to do, giving the capability for their customers to compete in a space where without a technology like ADL, tons of resources, you needed programmers on staff, you needed engineers, you probably needed some experience yourself. Now we could give them a tool for all of our users globally that they could compete and compete competitively in that low latency automated trade game. So that's sort of my story, or at least how I got to TT.
Really cool. Very, very interesting. Now let's move to modern day. You know, I know that TT has been making some changes to their platform. I mean, there's the Xtrader platform, which I'm very familiar with. And now you guys are making a change, a move to this new TT platform. Can you explain the reason for the change?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So as I said, 2010 was when I joined. I spent about 2 years integrating ADL, the technology that we had built, into Xtrader. I was I was both impressed at the level of maturity of the platform itself. I mean, I think that goes without saying. If it survived and thrived for 20 years, it must be good, stable, reliable, all those things that I think traders hold very dear. But also with 20 years of life, software becomes relatively difficult to manage. So what took a couple of years to integrate probably should have taken a fraction of that. I let it be known that there were probably ways and decisions we could make to improve that process, because this is an industry, as you know where you need to be fast and you need to be able to react and respond to changes, because it's nothing if not constantly changing. I then, once that integration was complete, I actually left and went to New York for about a year to work, left TT altogether. And that's when then CEO Harris Brumfield called me up and said, hey, I want you to move back to Chicago, come back to TT. And I basically said, under one condition, which is let me create a team to really rebuild this thing from the ground up in a way that will allow us to iterate and innovate much more quickly than we can today. Because even if we're the market leader, even if we have the industry's best platform, if we can't continue to adapt and continue to iterate and innovate as the industry changes, it's not going to look anything a year from now like it does today. We will lose that top position precipitously. And so he agreed to that. I came back in 2012, spun out this small Skunkworks team within TT to really take a look at all of the lessons learned that we had over the years. What did traders really value in Xtrader? What set it apart? And what technology choices could we make that would allow us to be very nimble, allow us to never really need to do another platform rebuild, meaning let's build a platform that lets us upgrade and replace components at a time without having to upgrade the entire system. And that's what we spent about 2 years, 2.5 years building kind of under the radar and launched about a year ago. So the TT platform, as you mentioned, which is in just about every facet an upgrade. So from a performance perspective, 75% latency reductions on all those tools that I mentioned from the automated world, but also much more approachable and accessible, meaning there's no software install. We do have a desktop client, but you don't need it. You can access it on your phone, your mobile device. You've really, for the first time, been given access to the types of technology that historically had a huge barrier to entry to getting, and now it presents to us a way that we can basically iterate and continue to innovate globally without having to manage things like 40 different versions of a legacy platform. So step one, which we've really taken care of in the past 12 months, was to give ourselves a foundation in the new platform that presents traders who love Xtrader and who have been using it for many years a very familiar experience. And then step two, of course, is now that we've got this foundation that lets us be very reactive and responsive, where do we take it from here? And you know, part of that is obviously driven by product decisions that we want to make now that we're armed with a technology stack that lets us do really cool things and do it in a way that's efficient, but also, of course, being prepared for the next curveball that the industry throws us and being able to react to that.
Now, there's a word we haven't talked about yet, and that's the cloud. Mm. It's this big word that everyone talks about in the industry now, not only in trading, but in all technology. Can you explain to us the reason why the cloud is so important in the advancement of trading technology?
Sure. I can give you our perspective on the cloud and the role it plays in TT. And so I think a lot of people read some of the marketing material or hear me talk about it and think, this is a cloud-based trading platform. How can it possibly be faster? How can it be better? while the cloud certainly plays a role, and I'll explain that, I think the important thing to note is what's not on the cloud. So remember those dark data centers where servers are sitting and all the co-located algos and gateways, that still is the case. So everything that has to happen fast, so every trade decision made, every strategy that someone builds that's running, that's all happening the old-fashioned way. Expensive servers sitting in a data center somewhere, co-located globally, a huge mesh of data centers around the world, all next to the relative exchanges. Where the cloud is offering some really compelling features that we just simply couldn't have on our legacy platform is in what do we do with all that data? So you're a trader. and you're maybe the FCM that clears a particular trader. As I think we all know well, from an audit compliance standpoint, you need to maintain every transaction that you've ever traded for 7 years and maintain that on file somewhere. Usually it's in a closet on tape backup somewhere in an FCM's closet, which is obviously a huge burden on trading firms, FCMs. But more importantly than that, that's also an incredibly data-rich source of information that you should be able to glean some insights of, whether you want to just simply look back a year ago at the same type of event that happened previously. What was I doing? What was I trading? How were my algos responding? How was my auto spreader behaving? To be able to take a look at that data and now use what has historically been a real burden to our customers and potentially glean business insights from that and new trade ideas and trade strategies and do it all at your fingertips from a mobile device even. We're talking billions of rows of data. That's a pretty compelling value add that really the cloud is the only thing that can enable something like that. And so whether you've got a black box trading algo, whether you're a click trader, whether you've got a spreader running, we are storing encrypted, both encrypted in transit and encrypted at rest, meaning no one can access this data, including TT. That data is incredibly secure, but it's there if you need it, and it's there in a way that you can really digest it and hopefully glean some value add. That's just one example of how the cloud's used. Again, that's out of the critical path of every fast trading decision. But it also, the cloud enables us to basically deliver the same version of the platform to every user globally. And that might not seem all that interesting because chances are if you use Facebook, you go to Facebook, you're seeing the same version of Facebook that someone in Sydney is seeing. So I think that's almost expected in today's day and age that with the web and web-delivered technologies that that's almost a given. But in our space, that's pretty incredible. And you look at us even today, we're managing many versions of our Xtrader platform. But where this is really interesting, particularly from a trader's perspective, give you a quick little anecdote. We added support for an exchange a year and a half ago that we hadn't ever supported before. For one reason or another, it was always high on our list of exchanges to add. Huge customer demand, both from the buy side and the sell side. We finally signed the contract, did the work to add this exchange, a big Asian market. We raised the flag, said we've got access to this market. It was 7 months before the first trade went through a gateway on this exchange, not because it wasn't ready, but because a lot of the inefficiencies with deploying a new version of the software, whether it's in a bank environment or even in our own environment, that the bank that we're hosting for a bank, there's just so many built-in inefficiencies that we had traders clamoring for this new exchange, but it took them 7 months just to even have access to it. That all fundamentally changes now. When we add a new market, literally the day it goes live, we flip a switch and every trader globally who wants to trade that market, even if they just want to dabble in it and explore it and without having a huge investment up front, I don't want to install servers for that, I just want to try it out, maybe try a trade strategy. Everybody gets access to it, of course, if their clearing firm supports it that same day. And really lowering that barrier to access of markets, of features, of functionality is what our trading community has been asking for many, many years and why we're most excited about this.
Very, very interesting stuff there. Now, one of the toughest things for me, I like talking about my experience as a trader and comparing it to the technology side. It was not only getting to the point of really having success, but sustaining success. The technology in the marketplace almost moves faster than the conditions of the market. How does TT stay at the forefront of technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. Look at a company like BlackBerry. They had for their segment the market leader. Everybody loved it. Nobody wanted it to change. Until they did, and by then it was too late. And having a position like that is tough, not only because there's lots of competitors and people are constantly sort of chipping away and trying to gain market share, but also, as you mentioned, this is an industry, not that other industries don't change, but this is one that has, particularly in the last 10 years, has seen dramatic change. And that's really what the impetus for building this platform was. As I said, kind of step one is to get a proper, worthy descendant of Xtrader, one that's familiar, one that anyone who's using Xtrader is going to know and be familiar with immediately. But once we've done that, and that's not a small feat. But once we've done that, we are now armed and capable of being nimble, of saying, okay, whether it's a threat, an external threat from a regulatory environment. Whether it's compliance issues, whether it's a competitor, whether it's a new asset class that our trading community simply can't live without, whatever direction that takes us, we are now in a position unlike anything we've ever been in before at TT, where we can respond and react to that. And I think that's, you have to put yourself in that type of position if you want to remain successful and have that sustained success.
I know that being a professional trader over the years and having a lot of professional trader friends, a lot of us use TT. And a lot of my retail friends did not use TT. Now, is TT making a push to get retail traders on their platform?
We are not. It's I think, and I suspect, a side effect of the technologies that we've chosen to deliver the front end. HTML5 happens to be the most efficient way to deliver front-end software, and it was chosen because of that and because of all of the benefits that I've been talking about, which is the ability to deploy changes globally, whether it's a bug fix, whether it's a new feature, new market. that in and of itself is fundamentally changing the way we deliver software and the way we go about interacting with our end users, and something that just simply wouldn't be possible without leveraging a technology like that. But I think when people hear HTML5, they simply think, I trade through E-Trade on the web, or, you know, Share Builder, or name your online broker. and it's simply just, I think, a side effect of that technology choice. I do think that there are plenty of retail, high-end retail users out there who maybe historically have either been priced out of TT software, or the actual physical burden of getting it installed and set up and configured properly and with the right FCM clearing relationship and the dedicated circuits needed simply was too great. Whereas now that it's accessible from a technology standpoint, I think we'll probably start to see that population of users grow, but not necessarily because we're going after them or targeting them. In fact, they will be the retail users who are deft at using Pro Tools. I mean, if you look at the screen on the new TT platform, you'll see lots of familiar sites. It's not a watered down version by any means. It is. We are still building software for the professional. I think, though, with greater accessibility, we'll start to see that group broaden.
Are you ready for our rapid fire segment?
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Okay. This is where our listeners can get a chance to get to know you a little better. Okay. What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
I'd say probably the first book I read on advice from before I even came to Capital Markets, which was Market Wizards, which is probably the book that most people read before they get into the space, the original Market Wizards. It not only gave me a fairly good background and a wide swath of what traders kind of what motivates them and their stories, but it really got me excited about the job I was about to start. So I think that's probably still number one on my list.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Trading Places, obviously, is high up there. It can't not be, right? Especially
it's,
in Chicago.
It's a very, very popular answer. Now, what's the best piece of advice you've received about being a trader?
I think initially the best piece of advice was that this industry will humble you, and the learning curve is so great that don't be expected to do anything productive or meaningful for the first 6 months. That certainly helped me keep my sanity. I think on the technology side, being prepared and planning for edge cases, so those things that you know are possible, but chances are they're not going to happen when you're building automated trading systems and trading platforms, they will happen, and they'll happen at the worst times. And being prepared for them and being prepared to handle them gracefully is probably good advice.
That's great advice. If you can give a piece of advice to the young people interested in the futures industry today, what would it be?
If they're still in school, I would say take at least one computer science class. I think even if you're not planning on writing code professionally or writing code in this industry, I think you're seeing the evolution of what the sort of average trader looks like. at least understanding and being able to talk that language, I think, is going to be a critical key for success in, you know, in 10 years, certainly, if not already.
Rick, well, thank you very much for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
No, just that it's great to be here. I think you guys are doing a great job with the show. And, yeah, it's a pleasure finally being here.
Well, Rick, pleasure, my friend. Great having you here today, and I look forward to having you on the show again in the future.
Likewise. Thanks.
All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that interview. To hear past episodes and to get on our email list, please go to futuresradioshow.com. Subscribers will know when the shows are posted, who the upcoming guests are, and what topics we will be covering. Also, by getting on our email list, you will be able to ask me and my guests questions about the shows. I remind you every episode that this show is for you, the trader. We want this show to be part of your routine. That's why we ask you to participate. You can do so by posting comments on our Facebook page, Lodestar Trading Community, or by following me on Twitter, at Anthony Credelli, and using the hashtag Futures Radio. Before I let you go, remember the three words that I think about every day before I begin to trade on my machine: preparation, anticipation, execution. Don't forget to check out the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Take care, everyone, and trade well.